And let's talk about awakening to Jesus' call. Acts chapter 1. Dr. Luke says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. Very important words. Until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, and he spoke to them about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised you that you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has set by his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you shall be my witnesses to Jerusalem and to all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." The Bible says after Jesus said this, he ascended to heaven, and the disciples were standing there staring up in the sky, and two angels came and said, "What are you looking at? This same Jesus is coming again." And then the disciples hurried back to Jerusalem, where they gathered in the upper room in constant prayer. And Acts chapter 1 ends with the selection of Matthias to replace Judas, who had betrayed Jesus. We're going to talk about all of these things this morning, and we're going to talk about awakening to Jesus' call. Would you pray with me, and let's invite the Holy Spirit to speak. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the people that you love so much. I pray that you'd breathe life among us by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Beloved, receive the word of the Lord. It's time to awake. It's time to get up. It's time to shake off spiritual slumber. It's time to roll out of soft beds and get up off of soft couches. Rouse yourself. Arise. Jesus is calling to his church. Awake, my beloved. Awake. Since January of 2011, we've been on a journey of discovery together, and it's been all about Jesus. We've looked at the four Gospels, and now we're starting a new leg of the journey into the book of Acts. And beloved, there's a word that is burning on my heart from the Holy Spirit today. It is time to awaken to Jesus' call on your life. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've invited him to be your Lord, your leader, then Jesus has a claim on you. I want you to know you are not your own. You have been bought with a price. Your life belongs to Jesus. Your body belongs to Jesus. Your days and your months and your years belong to Jesus. You are his workmanship, a new creation created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God prepared in advance for you to do. I want to tell you that the good works are not good deeds. The good works are the supernatural works of Jesus, the things that he began doing, healing the sick through the laying on of hands and delivering those that are oppressed with demons and telling everyone everywhere the good news about God. Peter says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." Do you know that word peculiar doesn't mean odd, although we've certainly met some odd people, haven't we? But that word peculiar means claimed. You are a claimed people. God has a claim on your life. Paul said, "I pray that the eyes of your heart would be opened up so that you would understand what is the hope of his calling." Beloved, I want you to know that your call is not your call. Your call is his call. It's not your call whether you're called to serve Christ. You are called. And it's not your call, what work you're called to. It's his call on you. And here's the call. Jesus has called you to help finish what he began. There's a critically important message in the book of Acts. God's plan of salvation is not finished yet. You know, sometimes we forget that because we hear a lot about the finished work of Calvary. And it's true. The cross of Jesus Christ was a once and for all sacrifice. Jesus' blood accomplished what the blood of bulls and goats could never do. He paid in full the price for the sins of the world. No additional sacrifice is necessary. Indeed, no additional sacrifice is possible. It is finished. The old covenant is finished. The cross is finished. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is finished. His ascension to heaven is finished. His elevation to a throne at the right hand of God is finished. But I want you to know that God's plan of salvation for mankind is not finished. The spread of the gospel to all people and to the ends of the earth is an integral part of that plan. Beloved, the fulfillment of the Great Commission is just as necessary to God's plan of salvation as was the cross. The sufferings of Jesus are only beneficial to those who hear the good news about them and are given the opportunity to respond. How shall they be saved unless they hear? How shall they hear unless they're told? How shall they be told unless some are sent? I want you to know that we live in a time when God's plan of salvation is still unfolding. It's still being carried out. It's not yet complete. While this old globe is spinning, there's still salvation work to do, and Jesus has called you to do it. As I look at Acts chapter 1, I find three acts in response to Jesus' call. And I want to share them with you quickly this morning. Three acts in response to Jesus' call. The first one is this. In response to his call, live your life with an eye on the sky. In response to his call, live your life with your eye on the sky. You know, I love the account of Jesus' ascension in Luke 1. Jesus leads the disciples up to the top of the Mount of Olives. And then he's enveloped in a cloud of Shekinah glory. It's the same glory that Peter and James and John saw on the Mount of Transfiguration. It's the same glory that appeared from time to time in the Old Testament. And Jesus is enveloped by this cloud and he ascends into the sky and disappears. And then the disciples are left standing there just staring up in the sky with their mouths open. Have you ever done that? You know, I remember one time we were in Florida, very near Cape Canaveral, when the space shuttle was launched. And we had a tremendous view of the space shuttle rocketing towards heaven with this amazing tail of fire behind it. And even after it disappeared in the haze, we all just sort of stood there staring into the empty sky with our mouths open, a little dumbfounded by what we had seen. That's what the disciples were doing. And two angels came and sidled up alongside of them and said to them, "What you looking at?" And then they reiterated Jesus' promise. This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come again the same way you've seen him go. If I might paraphrase the message of the angels for you, it's this. Don't just stand there. Jesus is coming again. So they hurried back to Jerusalem to commence the work that Jesus had called them to. Beloved, let me ask you something this morning. If it was urgent for the apostles to get busy in AD 33, how much more urgent do you suppose it is for us to get busy in AD 2012? Beloved, Jesus is coming again. This same Jesus that was taken up into heaven is coming again for his church, his bride. Don't just stand there. Jesus is coming. The signs of his appearing are all around us. Pastor Nick shared several of them with us last Sunday morning. I believe that the world stage is quickly being set for the return of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you that the rapid decline of our own beloved country is part of that. If Jesus tarries any longer, it will only be out of sheer mercy in answer to our prayers on behalf of loved ones who don't know him yet. Don't just stand there. Jesus is coming again. The signs of his imminent return should light a fire underneath us to throw ourselves wholeheartedly into his work. Remind me to thank our friend Patty Tate for getting us sucked into a new project over at our house. Pastor Ray and Patty are the founding pastors of our church, and Patty, as many of you know, is an interior decorator, and this summer she introduced us to chalk paint. Chalk paint is a special kind of paint that you can apply to antiques with virtually no preparation at all, and it dries with this very special, cool kind of matte finish. So Denise and I decided to try our hand at chalk painting. We bought a beat-up old bench at a junk store, and there was one afternoon this last week where the weather was a little sketchy, but I had a window of time that was just enough to put a coat of chalk paint on this bench, or so I thought. It might have been enough time, but I had a little helper who wanted to try chalk painting with me. And so I went and I got Lolly a paintbrush and we started calmly chalk painting together. And then Maddie noticed what we were doing and she decided she wanted to try chalk painting. So I went and got her a brush. And the next thing you know, I found myself in the middle of a chalk painting fiasco. Chalk paint was going everywhere. It was running down the sides of the can. It was all over the tarp. It was all over the girls. It was all over me. The only thing that wasn't covered with chalk paint was the bench. And then I heard this roll of thunder in the sky and a certain rustling in the leaves, and I felt a drop plop on my head. And all of a sudden, I'm working away with my eye on the sky. I became very focused in that moment on finishing the task, on finishing the job. I forgot everything else, and I just kept looking at the sky and painting the bench. I got it done just in time and dragged it into the garage before the heavens opened up. Beloved, Jesus is calling us to live our lives with our eye on the sky. The clouds are gathering. The heavens are getting ready to open up. Jesus is on his way. It's time for us to get focused on finishing the work that Jesus began. This isn't the time to focus anymore on earthly pursuits or comfort or security. It's time to focus on doing the will of the Father and finishing his work. I wonder if we really understand what it meant for that first nucleus of believers to go back to Jerusalem. You know, on that first Easter morning, it must have been such a relief when they heard Jesus' instructions, "Go meet me in Galilee." Galilee was their home. Galilee was familiar and comfortable. Their boats and their nets were welcome old friends. Galilee was safe. It was far away from Jerusalem. They didn't have telling accents in Galilee. They sounded like everybody else. The Sanhedrin wasn't hunting for them in Galilee. Luke records that over a period of 40 days, Jesus appeared to the apostles numerous times. There are actually 10 post-resurrection appearances that are recorded in the New Testament, and it alludes to the fact that there were others that weren't recorded. Paul says on one occasion, Jesus appeared to more than 500 people at one time. Luke said that Jesus did this to give them convincing proofs that he was in fact alive and risen from the dead. You know, if you see something extraordinary just once, you can even begin to doubt yourself. You can even begin to wonder, were my eyes playing tricks on me? Did I really see what I think I saw? But when you see something again and again and again, then you know that you know what you saw. Jesus talked with them. Jesus ate with them. He even made them breakfast. Luke also says that Jesus taught them. He explained the Old Testament scriptures in light of his cross and resurrection. He taught them more about the kingdom of God. And Luke says that Jesus gave them commands through the Holy Spirit. The command that Jesus gave them was the Great Commission. Go back to Jerusalem, wait for the promise of my Father, and become my witnesses to the ends of the earth. I wonder if we really realize what Jesus was asking. Jesus was asking them to sacrifice a life of security. See, Galilee was safe. Jerusalem was not safe. It's clear from the following chapters in Acts that the death of Jesus did nothing to assuage the anger of the Sanhedrin. In fact, the apostles' insistence that Jesus had risen from the dead only further enraged them. Galilee was safe, but in Jerusalem, interrogations were awaiting them. Beatings were awaiting them. Imprisonment, even stoning to death, was awaiting them. Jesus was not only asking them to sacrifice security, he was asking them to sacrifice a life of comfort. They gave up family and friends, homes and businesses, and everything that was dear to them. Did it ever occur to you that once they got to Jerusalem, the road never led them back home again? It led on to Judea and Samaria and then to the ends of the earth. It led to martyrdom and burial in strange soil. Jesus was asking them to sacrifice their dreams of success. It's really remarkable. In verse 6, we discover that even after the cross and the resurrection, even after 40 days of additional teaching about the kingdom, the disciples still didn't get it. They still thought that Jesus was going to come and establish an earthly messianic kingdom. They still had dreams of sitting in powerful positions next to Jesus on earth. And Jesus asked them to lay down that dream of earthly power in exchange for another kind of power, the power of the Holy Spirit that would come and make them witnesses. Go back to Jerusalem. Wait there for the promise of my Father and then become my witnesses. It wasn't easy to go back to the upper room. Jesus was asking them to abandon everything for the sake of the call, and they said yes. Beloved, can I tell you, 2,000 years later, Jesus is asking nothing less of you. Beloved, I want to tell you, Jesus is not just an accessory. He's not just a bauble. Jesus is not just a part of a well-rounded life. For those who belong to them, Jesus is the very substance of life. For me to live is Christ. Jesus is asking today, will you abandon it all for the sake of the call? Will you forgo the pursuit of success and comfort and security and allow your life to be overtaken by his call? Will you forgo your American dream and become consumed by the call to become his witness in the world? Go to Jerusalem, wait for the promise of my Father and become my witnesses. Beloved, look at me for one moment. I want to tell you that we are living in radical, radical days. And radical days call for believers who are radically sold out to Jesus and focused on finishing his work. Don't just stand there. Jesus is coming again. Live with your eye on the sky. Three acts in response to Jesus' call. The second act is this. Hang tight with believers who think alike. Hang tight with believers who think alike. The second act I find in Acts 1 was their ongoing gathering in the upper room. What a motley crew they were, those first believers. People who were different from one another in every way. They were socially diverse and economically diverse, politically diverse. They were male and female gathered together in one place, very unusual in that day. Some were very establishment and some were radically anti-establishment. I would have loved to have seen how Levi the tax collector and Simon the zealot, the anti-government zealot, got along together. Some had been with Jesus from the beginning and some were newcomers. The 11 were there. The women who supported Jesus. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. Mary not only gave birth to Jesus, but she was there to help give birth to the church. And the half-brothers of Jesus were there. You know, John tells us that even within 6 months of Jesus' cross, that Jesus' half-brothers didn't believe in him as Messiah. But Paul records that the resurrected Christ appeared to James, the half-brother of Jesus. So at least some of his half-brothers were fairly new converts in the upper room. There were people from all different walks of life and experiences, but they came together united in their love for Jesus and their commitment to his call. Beloved, can I tell you, the church is exactly the same today. People from all different walks of life. Look around for a second. Just look at one another. You're beautiful. Look at one another. We're from all different walks of life. We're from all different backgrounds. We're from different states and different countries of the world. We've had such different experiences in life, and yet we've come gathered together, united in our love for Jesus and our commitment to his call. Acts 1:14 says they all joined together constantly. Two important points here. They came together and they stayed together. Beloved, one of the most important messages in the book of Acts is that Christians are meant to come together and to stay together. Christians worship together. Christians pray together. Christians learn the word together. Christians serve together. Christians do life together. Christians submit to one another out of love and reverence for Christ. Christians persevere together. That's what those words mean. They join together constantly. It means they persevered together. Beloved, the Christian life is meant to be lived within a community of other believers. Jesus said so. And when we do that, that's when our light shines the most brightly in the world. I have two words from the Holy Spirit to share with you this morning. And since it's my birthday weekend, I'm going to take a little latitude. So I hope you'll give me grace. You're going to love me when I share these two words? All right. Some of you don't love me anyway. But that's all right. Jesus will help you. You're going to love these two words. Listen, these two words from the Holy Spirit. The first word is this: don't be a loose connection. And the second word is, don't be a lone ranger. Don't be a loose connection, and don't be a lone ranger. I have a set of three lamps in my office that I bought 100 years ago at the Bombay Company. Do you remember that store? And one of the lamps has a loose connection. Sometimes it's off, and sometimes it's on. Sometimes it's off and on and off and on and off and on. When I turn the switch, I never know exactly what I'm going to get. And when it's working, it's great. But when it's not working, the light in my office isn't nearly as bright. And that's just like some believers. Their connection with the local body of Christ is too loose. Sometimes they're on, sometimes they're off. Sometimes they're off and on and off and on. You never know what you're going to get. Beloved, can I tell you, the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you today, and God wants to firmly connect you with a local body of believers. Will you love me if I meddle a little bit? Summer's over now, so it's time to stop sunning yourself, and it's time to come on the first day of the week and worship the sun. Beloved, Sunday is for worship. Sunday is the Lord's day. Sunday is for receiving encouragement and instruction in his word. Sunday is for Christian fellowship. It's time to come home from your summer vacation from church, and it's time to get plugged in. You know, we miss you when you're not here, and we really are not quite as bright without you. Get your family plugged in. Tuesday night discipleship. I'm teaching Cleansing Stream every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. If you've never taken Cleansing Stream, I want to tell you, it's one of the most powerful courses that we offer here at Harvest Time. We invite the Holy Spirit to search us, in the words of David, to search our heart, to test our thoughts, to examine our ways, to see if there's anything in our life that is withholding the flow of his blessing in our lives and holding us back from his call. And then we ask ask the Holy Spirit to expose it and to remove it. There's a retreat that's part of the Cleansing Stream class. And most of the people at Harvest Time that have been on that retreat will tell you, outside of the time they came to Jesus, it's one of the most powerful experiences they've ever had in their Christian walk. Get plugged in on Tuesday, on Wednesday evening, Family Life Night, on Thursday evening for young adults, men's ministries, ladies' ministries. There's something happening 7 days a week. Come together with us and unite in the purpose of making Jesus famous. You know, the word they came together is the word homothamadin. It means to be of one mind. But that doesn't mean that we agree on everything or we agree how things should be done. They certainly didn't in the book of Acts. But it means that we unite around one purpose. Let's unite around the purpose of making Jesus famous in Greenwich, Connecticut. Let's unite around the purpose of making him famous in Fairfield County and Westchester County and Putnam County and in these northern suburbs of New York City. Let's unite around the purpose of proclaiming the good news of Jesus until the ends of the earth. Don't be a loose connection. And the other word I have from the Holy Spirit is don't be a lone ranger. Beloved, can I tell you, TBN is terrific. Daystar is dandy. CBN, Sky Angel, Inspiration, thank God for all those resources. But I want you to know that all of those things are supplements. They are not substitutions for participating in a local community of believers. That's good preaching right there. I love Joyce. I used to listen to Joyce in Missouri 20 years ago before you even knew she existed on the East Coast. I've always loved her teaching. She always brings a great word. But I'm telling you, sitting in your living room and watching television is not a replacement for participating in a local church. I love Kim Clement. He's cool. But prophetic ministry does not take the place of pastoral instruction. And unfortunately, sometimes TV ministries feed those who have an unhealthy, independent spirit. Beloved, many believers today have an unresolved issue when it comes to authority. They've never repented of it from their days before Christ, and they can't submit to authority and leadership in the body of Christ. They're unteachable. They're spiritually superior. They don't know how to get along nicely in the sandbox. They're spiritual lone rangers. And do you know what happens to lone rangers? Eventually, they find themselves surrounded by the enemy. You heard about how the Lone Ranger met his end, didn't you? He and Tonto were hiding out in a small valley from the Indians. And so the Lone Ranger sent Tonto up to the crest of a hill to look out and see what the situation was. And Tonto went and he looked to the west and he came back and he said, "Kimusabi, I have terrible news. Apache are coming from the west." He sent him to the crest of the other hill on the other side and he looked out and he came back with more bad news. He said, "Kimusabi, Iroquois are coming from the east." He went to the north and looked out. He said, "Kimusabi, Cree are coming from the north." And he looked to the south. He said, "They're coming from the south too." The Lone Ranger looked at Tonto and he said, "Tonto, we're in real trouble." Tonto looked back to him and said, "Who we, white man?" Beloved, if you're a Lone Ranger, one day you're going to find yourself all alone, surrounded by the enemy. Don't be a lone ranger and don't be a loose connection. Come together with a community of believers and stick together with them. They all join together constantly. Hang tight with believers who think alike. Three acts in response to Jesus' call. Finally, this. Keep going on no matter what has gone on. Keep going on. No matter what has gone on. The first act of the believers were to return to Jerusalem. The second act was to gather together constantly, persevering. The third act, I find in Acts chapter 1, was to replace Judas so that the ministry could carry on. Beloved, let me say to you, keep going on no matter what has gone wrong. Keep going on no matter who is gone. Yesterday was my 46th birthday. I've been walking with Jesus for 38 years now. And one thing that I can tell you, I'm waiting till I get to two more years, and then I can do like the old ladies in Maine who used to testify and say, I've been serving the Lord for 40 years and he's never failed me yet. I'm just waiting to get there. But let me tell you, one thing I can tell you for certain is that not everyone will finish the journey with you. Keep going on anyway. I got saved when I was 8 years old in the suburbs of Philadelphia during an amazing outpouring of the Holy Spirit. What we've seen at the Greenwich outpouring is just a little taste of what we experienced then. We saw dramatic healing miracles. We saw hundreds and hundreds of people saved. Actually, you know, a lot of the people we started out with are still following Jesus, but many others who tasted God's glory with us have fallen away from the faith, and it's painful. I understand the sting in Peter's voice here in Acts 1. Judas was one of us. He shared in this ministry, and he led Jesus to his arrest. And yet behind the decision to fill in Jesus' apostolic office was the resolve to keep going on. Keep going on, though some are gone. Keep going on, though some have fallen asleep. You know, all my fathers and mothers in the faith, my beloved pastor, our Bible school teachers, the leaders of our movement back in those early days, in the early days of the charismatic outpouring, they've all gone home to be with Jesus. Maybe some people that you started your journey with in Christ, maybe they've fallen asleep in Christ too. Maybe they've gone home to be with the Lord, but there's still work to be done, so we keep going on. Keep going on, though some have fallen away from the faith. I really don't know what happens in the heart of a man that would cause him to turn his back on Jesus, but Jesus said it would happen. He said that demonic influence, evil spirits, would steal the truth away from some. He said the trials of life, especially persecutions, would cause others to spiritually wither. Did you hear the good news that Pastor Yusuf Nadarkhani in Iran was freed yesterday after 3 years? Someone can spend 3 years in prison for the right to worship Jesus in his own country. Isn't the least that we could do is turn up to worship Jesus and give him the glory that's due his name? Jesus said wealth and cares of this world would choke out faith in others. Paul wrote to Timothy, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Beloved, not everyone you start with will finish with you. Some won't make it. Some will give up. Some will turn back, but keep going on anyway. Keep going on even though your leaders have made mistakes. Beloved, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, Judas wasn't the only one who did Jesus wrong. Peter had his own very public failure. The one who so boldly, just hours before, told Jesus, I'll follow you to the death. His faith was undone by a little teenage girl who challenged him. Who was Peter now to stand up in front of the 120 and presume to lead them in the selection of Judas' successor? John had been the bravest out of all of them. John should have been the one to lead them in that process. But they recognized the Holy Spirit's mantle of leadership on Peter, and in spite of his mistakes, they decided to keep going anyway. Beloved, listen to me. Human leaders in the body of Christ make mistakes, but keep going anyway. The church in the book of Acts is a healthy church, but it's not a perfect church. It's not without conflict. It's not without disagreement. It's not without some sharp fights between leaders, and yet they kept going on. I make mistakes. I know you don't think I do, but sometimes I do. Other pastors make mistakes. Denominational leaders make mistakes. National leaders make mistakes, but keep going on anyway. Everybody look at me. I know that when a leader fails you, I know it's incredibly painful, but never, never, never withhold worship from a good God just because a flawed man has hurt you. Paul said God has hidden his treasure in earthen vessels. You know what I call that? Cracked pots. To prove that the all-surpassing glory is from him. Keep going on. Beloved, my prayer, Pastor Nick, you can help me. Beloved, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will come to you right now and that he'll reawaken in you your sense of calling in Jesus Christ. You're not your own. You belong to Jesus. You're a peculiar, acclaimed person. May you know the hope of his calling on your life. God's plan of salvation is not yet complete. Jesus has called you to finish what he began on the earth. Will you respond to his call? Will you live with your eye on the sky? Will you hang tight with believers who think alike? And will you keep going on no matter what has gone on? If it's true that we're the last generation of the church before Jesus comes back, then let's make sure that we finish well. Let's finish well what Jesus started. Let's finish well what Peter and James and John and the others gathered in the upper room started. Let's finish well what Paul and his companions started. If we're truly the last generation of the church before Jesus comes back, then let's finish well what the church fathers and the saints of God have labored for down through the centuries. Let's finish well what the martyrs have spilled their blood for. Let's finish well what lovers of God in generation after generation have sacrificed so much for, and let's make sure that our sacrifice is no less. Let's finish what Pastor Tate and a handful of people started here in Greenwich in 1983. Let's finish what they prayed and they sacrificed for. God sent a man here telling him a promise that there was a harvest to be reaped right here in Tony, Greenwich, Connecticut, and in all of these surrounding communities. Let's finish what they started. Let's finish what we started in 1999 when we bought this land and we started to build this building. Beloved, look at me. Our work here is not yet done. Our work here is not finished. Let's rally together with one purpose, with one heart. Let's pray and sacrifice and give and serve. And let's build phase two, the largest auditorium in Greenwich, Connecticut, to the glory of Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Jesus has a call. Let's finish his work until he comes. Would you stand together on your feet? And would you give a great big praise and a great big glory and honor to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the only Savior of the world, and our soon and coming King. Come on. Give